Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Diana Deeney.
Hey, Diana, when's the last time you called a customer support line?
You know, I think it's been a while.
Good for you. Is that because everything's working perfectly?
That's right. Everything's awesome, and I never have any problems. Usually it's probably because my stuff is just super old. So when I call to ask a question, they're like, oh, that's vintage.
Ooh, yeah. I wasn't alive when that was put in the market.
Yeah. I was in sixth grade.
So about last year at this time, I installed a new audio system in the house. It's kind of surround sound for the home theater-ish stuff, you know, where we watch TV.
Is it one of those things that it pipes the music through to the kitchen and the den all at once?
Well, I got a kitchen dining room set up and upstairs where the TV is and our offices are. It's not extravagant. It's not like I have a home theater system with plush chairs or anything. It's that we have a surround sound system there and one downstairs, and they can, and it was funny. They had an algorithm for playing both, and they would play weird sounds, and they would work out the lag between the two of them so that when you were traveling, walking from one area to the other, it was still sounded like it was in sync. They weren't clashing with each other. I thought,
that's fascinating. Wow.
So I'm glad they sorted that out. And I've got remote ones, that one's in the garage and one's out in the garden. And through the Wi-Fi system in the house, I can stream to them too. And so about 6 weeks ago, it would just stop playing. I'd be playing Apple Music and it would just stop. I said, well, this is odd. So I called Apple and they said, well, that sounds like a Sonos problem. And then it called Sonos and they said, well, that sounds like an Apple problem.
I call that like the coat of arms when you have the fingers crossed pointing at the other people on either side of you.
Yeah. Oh, that's clever. No, I remember years and years ago is that, you know, when you're working with a supplier and you have a problem with a product and you call the supplier to see what their thoughts are on it, we've never seen that before. It must be you. when I was at HP, Dick Moss called it that. They have five standing answers, and I won't go into all of them, but it's basically if they tell you this, these five things, they're just trying to get you off the phone and close this case. And usually it involves it's your fault kind of thing. And so I was like, all right, I've been on the phone with them and they're both saying it's not them. And I am tired of rebooting the router.
That's always the first step. I know. And it's frustrating when it works.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the problem was I ended up dialing, you know, getting into advanced support on both companies and saying, now look, here's what I tried. Here's what I isolated. Here's what I'm observing. How do you know I'll do all this stuff? I do this for a living, but it was an intermittent problem. Sometimes it would stop playing after 5 minutes and sometimes it would be 2 days. And it would be mid-song. It would be, you know, all kinds of different symptoms. It wasn't correlated to when we received a phone call. It wasn't correlated when we ran the microwave, as one guy suggested. And just on and on and on. And the issue was, you know, I'm still working on it. And I've stopped calling support.
Oh, you haven't gotten a resolution yet?
No, it went all week this past week. And then on Saturday, it stopped. Same symptoms. And I'm like, all right, we're not there yet. So now I'm into dedicated IP for the different devices. I mean, I'm getting into the weeds and these routers and stuff. But that's not the point, is that part of calling customer service, and not that you have a bunch of ancient products, it's also a barrier to call them because you know it's going to be a pain. and in time. And then you get a voice animated thing saying, to best serve you, we need to know what you want to talk to. And I learned very quickly with both systems, I want to talk to a human. Oh, let me get you an agent. Please.
Oh, that worked?
It worked. And please, and it would hold, you know, your hold time is 28 minutes or whatever. It'd take forever. And then it would chime in every now and then. At least these two companies weren't doing the, your call is important to us on a loop.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me recently too. I finally got through the automated system to be on hold, and I was like number 67. Oh, I'm like, forget this.
Oh yeah, but sometimes I wonder if it's just such a barrier that's why they don't get that many calls. Or, you know, I saw it in a blog post the other day. Is like, if every time I call you, morning, day, night, weekend, whenever, is saying we're experiencing, you know, high call volume, and it's just a standard loop right at the answering, it's like, well, you're doing that company is really just trying to discourage you from actually calling them and not trying to help you. And you get a hold of an agent in a variety of companies I've called over the years that are genuinely helpful. And yet I'm always suspicious when they start, hi, this is Fred. I'm here. I will solve your problem today. And then 2 minutes later, it's obviously I have no idea what I'm talking about or what the issue is.
It was really a wish, right? Yeah. Hi, I'm Fred. I'm going to solve your problem, I hope.
Yeah. They leave out it's not in the script.
Yeah.
The most frustrating one by far is I called, it was a tree branch came down and cut the line for the cable to the house for the internet connection. I think it was DSL at the time. And so I called them and she said, have you restarted your router? I says, I don't think that'll help. The cable from the pole to the house is laying on the ground and broken. It's ripped off the roof and sheared the cable apart. Well, have you restarted your router? Okay. Click, click. All right, we got to wait 5 minutes for it to come back. It's back. It's not connecting. Oh, I can't see your router from here. Lady, the wire is broken. There's this massive branch that ripped it apart. It's laying across the road, sparking. I made that part up. And oh, well, the next step is to restart your modem.
Oh, no.
She was going to stay on that script no matter what. I says, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. No, you can't do that. You first have to restart the modem. Okay.
You know, I picture I don't know, if you ever saw The Office? Mm-hmm. Or, no, it was Parks and Recreation. the brunette girl that would chew gum and twist her hair. Like, you just picture somebody, you know, doing it on purpose.
Yeah. But some people are in some companies, they tell you they're being recorded for quality and training. It's like, no, it's to make sure that the poor agent is reading the script independent of whatever it is you're trying to do. Yet when I got to folks that like, well, what have you tried? Let's get it documented. Let's figure out what's working, what's not working. Let's run the diagnostics we can from here. Can we try this? Let's check these settings, you know, and the Apple guy said, you know, I'm going to take this case and I'll call you back next week and we'll see how it's going and what the other things I've learned in the meantime and so on. And really pretty much isolated that it wasn't an Apple thing. And so I had all the information to go back to the audio company, the sound system guys, and say, look, it's not Apple. Here's what I know. Here's what we've seen. Here's the evidence. Here's this stuff. Okay, so they put me in charge up to second level support or something like that. And it was like, well, we tried this, tried that. Okay, it sounds like it's interference. Well, how do you know that? Well, if we can't figure out what it is, we always blame interference. I was like, okay, we're still back to we don't really know. And I don't have a way to see the signals and what kind of chatter is going on in the house. I think I have 41 different Wi-Fi connected devices in the house. And because I learned that the hard way by going too deep into the router to see what was going on. I don't even know where they all are. I don't know how I'd turn them all off. But it was just the first barrier calling customer service is getting past the automated system.
Yeah.
Which has been less than helpful in vast majority of cases. And, you know, when I call my bank, USAA is where I have insurance and banking, and their automated systems is what department are you looking for? And they'd list their five major businesses, and you'd say one of them and immediately somebody would pick up. The hold time for them is in the order of seconds. And I'm like, no wonder I stay with these people. They actually staff to answer the calls, the phone. And whereas you call the IRS, you're going to be on hold for 2 hours. It's a given.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then even then you get disconnected. We had, Diane was calling this one government agency and it says, please press 1, press 2 to continue.
Oh, so what do you do with that?
Well, she tried 1 and it went to the menu that said, please press 1, press 2 to continue. Pressed 2 and it would be on hold for just quiet hold for with the occasional, your call is important to us for exactly 24 minutes. She figured this out after the fourth time and thank you for calling. Goodbye. No option for a message. No option. You're going to hold longer. It had a 24 minute max hold period. And they would just disconnect it politely. It would say, thanks for your call. Goodbye. Click.
Well, now there's also chat interfaces for help.
Oh, good grief. I touched that a few times. That's a whole nother rant.
Yeah. And there's some examples I've seen. I had talked with Scott Abel a couple times last year. He's in information management. Mm-hmm. And he picks out these things once in a while where like a chat, you'll ask a question and it'll say, I'm not sure about that, but I can tell you more about this. And it's, what it is that you were looking for.
Would you really like to buy some pretzels?
Or it gets you in this loop, or just the terminology. So there's just a lot of improvements that need to be made with those kind of help systems, too. And that's the kind of stuff that Scott looks at, which is in and of itself a product, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a product that you're developing that you want it to be reliable and have high quality. And people are looking at it that way, thankfully.
Well, and definitely needs improvement. I can understand it from a company's point of view is I don't want to hire a staff of 50 people to manage the call volume to answer questions. The on and off switches on the back right corner of your device. Although, when you think about it, if somebody doesn't know how to turn on your product and they just bought it, it's a failure for them, right?
Yeah.
You did not design it well, and it's not set up correctly so that your customer can actually use your device. And it might mean something other than turning it on and off. But
yeah, that's a symptom of a bad design of a product.
Right.
Right.
So part of it is that the call center, the better companies will use that information and gather it and spot issues that they could fix by design or in the instructions or setting expectations or doing whatever. Other companies look at it as just it's a cost center and it's just a part of doing business. We're going to minimize it. So we're going to make long wait times, chats that take you into loops and push you into the frequently asked questions things or suggest answers that have nothing to do with what you're talking about. Yeah, hopefully they're going to get better as they get trained and understanding normal language versus the engineer speak that these things are often programmed on. If I knew it was bus number 2 with an intermittent square wave fluctuation, I would have asked that question.
It sounds like you've learned a lot trying to troubleshoot your problem.
One guy was convinced it was my microwave. And he says, my microwave is not smart. It doesn't talk to anything. And I understand the idea that microwaves themselves are in the, you know, spectrum of frequencies, but isn't it kind of shielded so it doesn't kill people with pacemakers? And he goes, oh, I didn't know that. We always blame the microwave.
Well, and if you didn't get a new microwave, like if you just installed a new one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your microwave is probably vintage, right?
Well, yeah, pretty close to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like that's introducing new things or.
Well, my first thought was, is I had just installed a new operating system on an iPad I used to stream the music, and it just got updated. So that was my culprit number one, is that was new within a day of this stuff happening. And yeah, that sounds suspicious, but, you know, we very quickly went to other systems and said, no, it doesn't work on this and doesn't work on that. Doesn't work on that. We got a neighbor's, you know, Android phone over there, and it failed also pretty quickly. At least somebody was saying, yeah, well, that makes sense, but let's find out if that's true or not. Let's isolate it. And the hard part was, is that sometimes it would take 3-4 hours before the audio would drop out. So it's been an ongoing base, you know, system. I've talked to 3 different companies, customer support, getting through the barricades of chats and holds and voice prompt systems. And I don't know how many websites I've been to and forums and stuff like that, and trying this, that, and the other thing. What I've learned, though, is that I don't think the system of customer support, while in some cases is pretty good, is still lacking. In general, from my Diane and I had spent time on customer support for a variety of different issues over the last month, and we're very reluctant to pick up the phone to call anybody anymore. We got beat out of us that if you got a question about a product, buy somebody else's.
Their evil plan worked.
Yeah,
they're sitting behind a big desk and tapping their fingers together.
Yeah, it's like, yeah,
yes, it worked.
It's working. And, you know, part of the process and the automation and stuff is just to deal with the volume. Because if you can get the answer you need by going to the FAQ system, or it gets you the right article that solves your problem exactly, that's great, you know. But that doesn't always work. And I don't know. I try to think I can solve the simple ones myself. And I spent plenty of time on company sites, you know, doing the homework, because I really don't want to call them. Although some companies are a joy to call, like my bank. They just want money from me. So it's.
Well, I guess they've made customer service a priority.
Yeah. And I think that's the missing piece here, is that. I mean, from my point of view, and in quality and reliability, I often have tapped into customer service and customer support folks and field service people to get a sense of what in the world's happening and what's working and what's not working. And it's a great source of information directly from customers if the system is set up to actually get an understanding of what's the problem the customer is facing, rather than trying to deflect blame or get off the call in 10 seconds and because I have to make 1,000 calls this hour, or, you know, whatever their motivations are. As I've worked with, I don't know how many different companies that go, stop paying them by the call because they're not solving problems. And it's in their own interest not to solve the problem because they'll call back.
Yeah, that's part of designing the metrics for what you want, right?
Right.
Instead of, because people will work toward the metrics that they're being measured on, and that's just what happens.
Yep. And so at HP, we set up a system where and it wasn't me that came up with this. One of the call centers had set it up so that how often is the question answered on the first call? And the call length didn't matter. If you answered the question, the customer was happy on the first call and resolved the issue, that was the goal. They wanted first-time call solutions was kind of the, whatever they had a fancier term for the metric, and that's what they measured. And customer satisfaction went up, sales went up, all kinds of things improved. And they recognized the connection between the call center and customer satisfaction.
So just from that one change of changing their metric to measure that thing, mm-hmm. they got increased customer satisfaction and sales. And
oh, I'm quite sure they got a lot of pushback too, because they had to double their staff. Because if you are going to be on the phone with somebody for twice as long and you still got the same kind of call volume at the start, it makes a huge difference in the upfront cost, but it paid for itself in its first year. Easy.
Mm, that would be easy to measure.
Yep. Yep. No, I agree. And it's not something I saw in my experience. Or one last quick story. Diane called the national office and they said, oh, your case is now at a local office. Here's their number. She calls the number and it got picked up right away. She was very impressed. She was all settled in, you know, and had a cup of tea, was ready to wait an hour on hold. And they picked up right away. And she explained why she was calling. And she says, are you an employee? No. Is this an emergency? No. How did you get this number? you can't call this number. Here's the other number. And then that's the one that hung up on her after 24 minutes.
Oh.
And it's like, why don't you call the other one again? Get yelled at by some employee because you're not privileged enough to call that line.
Yeah, that's almost insulting.
Yeah.
You can't talk to me. You're not.
You're not important enough.
You're just a customer.
Yeah. And it was. And she said, but the national office gave me this number. Well, they shouldn't have. Goodbye.
Oh.
Yeah, they were pretty rude once they found out she wasn't special in some anointed way. So hopefully, the next time you have a relatively new faulty product and you call customer support, you get the good people that are a good company that really wants to make sure that you have the answer and get it resolved and solve the problem, as opposed to my more recent experience of getting pushed around and blame the other one and all the other good stuff. But if you're listening to this, when was the last time you called customer support and how did that go for you? And then vice versa, if you're in a company that has customer support, have you checked in with them lately? You know, can you get good information from them or do they need help? Let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go. Ascendo.com/go/SOR. Oh, drawing a blank here. There's a couple of ways to get in touch with us there. Diana and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our about pages. And hopefully you don't have to call customer support. But when you do, I hope it goes well. I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, like you said, you know, if you have customer support at your company, can you rely on the data or do they need help? Because sometimes it is a company-wide team initiative to support those customers.
Yep. Yeah. There's good ones out there. So if you have a question about a couple of good ones, you want to call random customers. We should do that. Maybe do a survey of just call random customer support lines and what's the average wait time and embarrass the ones that are like 2 hours. Although that would be painful to go through that process.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. I'm not. Anybody want to fund a project? Answer that question. Let me know.
I was thinking that they're going to come up with a whole new way to just avoid us.
That's right. Your number's been blocked.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. Don't worry about it. All right. Well, thanks so much, Diana, for listening through my rant on customer service here and helping, giving some good ideas there. So appreciate that. Well, listen,
I hope you can figure it out. You know, my next best guess is you got a neighbor that's installed something fancy and it's got something going on.
Microwave.
Yeah, a new microwave.
Yeah. You know, there was some construction across the street. Anyway, thanks so much, Diana. I'm going to go knock on the door over there.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.